I think it's funny how Zach's devotion was on trust. And today I'm going to talk to you about obedience. And I think those two go hand in hand. But we get obedience is probably not something we like to hear or we like to go through necessarily. But I think it's important as our growth goes on that we understand the importance of obedience. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you to come and shut my mind down and shut my brain down. And Lord, you know, I know the message you want me to give, Lord. I know the words you want me to speak, but I want to be open to your Spirit. Lord, just come through me and let me be the mouthpiece for you this morning, Lord, and give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear today. In your name we pray. Amen. I will add to, we have a couple people serving our country right now. Jackson's in tech school in Missouri, and Lindsay leaves today. She's going to be somewhere for 2 weeks, Pennsylvania. Not in harm's way, of course, but she experienced this morning leaving Beckett for an extended period of time, and I don't think that probably went so well. Just be with her, be with Skylar, as he's not used to being the sole provider by himself this week and the next 2 weeks, that they get through it and they know that it's just part of what their plan is right now. So just keep both those young people in your prayer and give Chris and I the wisdom and patience to, we're not used to being full-time caregivers as well. And he's a lot of fun, but he's fun for hours. So we'll see what that looks like. Obedience. And I'm going to read you the definition for obedience. This is a long definition, but I think each one of them are important. Obedience is a form of social influence involving compliance with direct orders from an authority figure. It involves submitting to rules, laws, or commands, often driven by respect, fear of consequences, or trust. Now, there's different types of obedience. I was not aware of this, but then when I was studying this week, and I thought, I've been through each one of these types of obedience. Obedience relates closely to authority, which can be legitimate or perceived. The types of obedience are voluntary obedience. This arises from respect, shared values, or trust, often seen in religious context, obeying God or fulfilling civic duties. Compelled or submissive disobedience, driven by fear of consequences, punishment, or loss of privileges. Social conformity obedience, adhering to implicit group norms rather than just specific orders. And then personality factor obedience. Individuals with high consciousness or agreeableness may be more obedient. So there's levels of obedience that I never thought about. But then it goes further and it says how obedience is taught or learned. Obedience is learned through socialization and structured training. For people, parents and teachers teach obedience through instruction, rewards, and consequences. And we could go into that. There's positive, negative, all that consequences. You know, and it made me think as we are in a different level, Chris and I are at a different level right now than we've ever been, because we've always just been the parent and our kids better be obedient or there's going to be consequences. Listen, Beckett and Harvey don't have to be real obedient. In fact, when you tell Harvey no, he turns and laughs at you. Right now, I think it's cute. Well, till Mondays when I have him and I tell him no. But when he does it to his mom and dad, I kind of chuckle because they get what they deserve. Beckett is pretty obedient, which blows my mind because Lindsay was my most non-obedient. That's not the right word. She was my most rule pusher of the bunch and strongest willed of the bunch. And Shelby was my, I looked at her and snapped my finger and she was puppy dog eyes. And it's just funny how they have, it seems like they have each other's kid. But God does that for a reason. Today we're going to spend a ton of time in Genesis because I think this, for me, this is the story of obedience that I can get behind the most. And it starts, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 12. And I think it's important that we start there because there's some key verses I want you to hear. So this is the call of Abram, chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm reading from the ESV. Says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that's just three verses, and that's a pretty tall order because here God is telling Abram, hey, I want you just to go. How many times in our lives has God said, hey, man, I want you just to go? I'm going to show you where to go, but I want you just to go. And going back to Zach, I want you to go and trust me. And that's hard for us. Why? Because we like to have our hands on everything and know where we're going. Okay, let's move on. Verse 4. What does Abram do? So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward Negev. The key thing I want you to take from here is verse 4. So Abram went. He didn't know where he was going. He was still out journeying, trying to find places when God had put him where he wanted him to be. So it was a journey. And I want you to take note of who all went with him. It wasn't just Abram and Sarah. There was a whole procession that had to go. There was people, his brother's son, all their possessions they had gathered, all the people they had acquired in Haran, and they were to go out into the land of Canaan. Along with that was livestock. So this was a big move. This was not something Abram probably thought he ever dreamed of doing, but God told him to go. And he went, that is obedience. That is voluntary obedience. let's flip over. You can keep reading, but I'm trying to get to the main gist of the story here. Chapter 15, 1 through 6. And Abram had been through many battles in this. And here, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. So again, Abram was at least 75 at this point. How many of you 75-year-olds out there want one of those running around that you have to care for? I'm 55, and I don't want one that I got to care for 24/7. I love those two kids, and I'd lay down my life for them. But, man, I hope I don't have to fully – I'm so glad I don't have to raise them because they're a handful. But again, Abram says, who's going to inherit? Who's going to inherit my household? I have no offspring. And remember, that was part of God's plan. God had told him, your offspring are going to be many. Your offspring, and he tells him here again, count the stars. That's how your offspring is going to be. And Abram's like, God, I don't have anybody. There's still a plan. And Abram was still obedient without question right here. Let's go to chapter 16. This is when it starts getting hairy. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarah said to Abram, May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave you my servant to embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarah, Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. So Sarah's big plan was, go have a child with my servant. Go have a child with my servant. That'll give us a descendant. When the servant got pregnant, then she did not want Sarah to be around at that point. So Abram said, Hey, honey, look, we're going to deal with this. You do whatever you want with Hagar. So Sarah dealt with Hagar. The long story short, not a good situation. Abram's trust kind of failed at that point, because he bought into the social influence of his wife saying, hey, let's conceive a child through my servants, and it'll be my own, our own kid. Instead of trusting God, now again, this was 10 years after they got into the land, so now Abram was 85 years old. Still no offspring. Long way to go here. We'll get there, I promise. Let's go to 17. And trust me when I tell you I'm skipping over a ton of stuff, but I want to get to the main gist of where we're going. 17, chapter or verse 15 through 27. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abram said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac." And Isaac means he laughs. "I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought in money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So Abraham is obedient right here. And even though he kind of said, "God, there's no way you're going to do that. I'm 100 years old." He was obedient and did what God... And listen, this is part of a huge sacrifice. Because we think of circumcision now, and it's, you know, nice. They do it when the babies are 12 hours old, and there's a tool and whatever. I don't know what it looks like. I've never seen it done. This was a pretty crude order to have done. And not only Abraham at 99, but every male in his household went through this circumcision as a covenant to God. Listen, I don't know what God's asking you to be obedient about, but I don't think it's circumcision by medieval cruel methods. I think we can go through and be obedient with what God wants. Because what does God want from us? Right now, He wants me to just be a good Christian, Matt. Take what you talk about in here and apply it out there in your life. Because that's about all I can handle. God doesn't ask me to do too much difficult stuff because He knows I can't handle it. I don't know about this business here with what Abraham pulled off. Could you imagine telling your 13-year-old son, "Hey, we're going to go out here and have a little procedure done"? No. So that is obedience. Let's go over to Genesis 21. We're getting to where I wanted to get to now. Genesis 21, 1 through 7, this is the birth of Isaac. The Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And he said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So because of Abraham's obedience, that story came true. Isaac was born. Abraham was 100 years old. Now we're getting to where we need to get to. Chapter 22. This is the ultimate test for obedience for me. Even worse than circumcision, this is the ultimate test of obedience. And by the time we're done, we will understand the reward with being obedient. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I should tell you. So, Isaac is about 12 here. So that would make Abraham 112. And he is just starting to be where Isaac is a benefit for Abraham now, because at 112, Abraham probably isn't able to do things he did when he was a mere 80 years old. Right? So Isaac is really beneficial to Abraham, and he's carrying on the family name. And he has visions of Isaac really making a name for Abraham and his descendants, right? And God says, hey, I want you to go sacrifice it. What's it say in verse 3? So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. So for 3 days they traveled. 3 days. Listen, have you ever ridden in a car with a 12-year-old? A 9-year-old? So, and I equate this story to this. My sister and her husband and their kids went to Florida last year and they decided they were going to drive. Well, Carter was 12, Lily was 6, and I put in Lily's mind before they left, I said, Lily, I need you to count the number of times you can ask, are we there yet on your trip to Florida? And I said, just humor Uncle Matt. Well, Lily asked once before they got to 42, about a mile and a half. And then Callie spoiled the fun and said, Lily, just because Uncle Matt told you to ask that every 2 miles, you don't have to ask that. But that's the vision I see of this trip with the donkey and Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac saying, Dad, where are we going? When are we going to be there? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Okay? That's what traveling with a 12-year-old is like. Let's go on. they leave the donkey and the servants. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took his hand to the and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them. Now again, this is obedience. Because I want to take you back to verse 5. And Abraham says to these young men that he leaves with the donkey, "The boy and I will go over there and worship and come again to you." So Abraham is fully trusting God to provide right here. It doesn't cross Abraham's mind that he's going to just come back by himself. He has full trust in God that he is going to offer the best sacrifice there can be. Okay? And then as Isaac's questioning him, because Isaac's like, you know, scratching his head, he's carrying this load of wood and sees his dad with the knife and the fire, and he says, "Hey, what are we going to sacrifice? What are we going to sacrifice?" As any 12-year-old would do. And he said, "God will provide the lamb." When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid wood on the altar in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar top of the wood. Excuse me, sorry. This is one of the most heart-wrenching moments in the Bible for me, because as a father, do I have that much trust in my God that I'm going to bound my only son and offer him as an offering right there? Boy, I hope I do. I'm so, so glad I never had to make that sacrifice. But Abram did as he was told. That's blind obedience. And you know, also another obedient here is Isaac. Can you imagine being 12 years old and your father's 112? You got to think you could probably overpower him, couldn't he? I don't know. He for sure could run from him. But Isaac trusted his father so much, they let him tie him up and lay him on this altar. It doesn't say that Isaac was screaming and kicking and carrying on, right? It says Abraham did it by himself. So Isaac had to be compliant and obedient with his father. Verse 10, "Then Abram reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God.'" Guys, sometimes it's not about whether we have to do the unthinkable. Sometimes it's about just listening to what God wants. We don't always have to have the grand plan. But we got to be obedient to what God's asked. If He asks us to go, we got to go. If He asks you to get up and speak on Sunday morning, you've got to get up and speak on Sunday morning. And I fought it. Les and I both, we didn't think that was our call. You know when I thought this was my call? When I was 17 years old. But then I said, nah, that's not my call. 17-50. 33 years. I don't know if I was being disobedient, or I don't know if I was being trained. I think it took us a long time to train. A long time to train. God will do what He wants with your life if you're obedient and willing to let Him have His way. This is the ultimate story of obedience. And I pray that none of us ever have to go to that length to show our obedience to God. You know, He's asking us for simple things. Give me 10% of your first fruit. Give me your first fruits. Give me your best effort out in the community to share my love. He's not asking us to go sacrifice our firstborn son. But I think this is foreshadowing, because what He asked Abraham to do right here, guess what he did right there? Our God is not going to ask us something to do something. Number one, that He knows we're not capable of. But number two, He's not going to ask us to do something that He would not do for us. So my challenge to you is, we just have to be obedient. If God's pulling you in a direction, go. If God's telling you to come forward and accept Christ, go. Don't wait. Don't fight it. Because He is going to do more through your obedience than He'll be able to achieve more through your obedience than He will be through your stalling. And take that from somebody who knows what my stalling's all about. 33 years. I was baptized at 15 years old. God put me in a great situation, in a great youth group, in a great whatever, great teachers, great Sunday school teachers. I knew what the story was. I thought I heard God's calling. Turns out I did. But it took a long time for me to figure out what God's calling was. And every time I tried to come up with my own plan, God squashed it. And He opened another door. I don't know what the finished product looks like. Doesn't matter. I know where I'll be at the end of time. That's all I need to know. What He does with me between now and then, That's up to him. But I have to be obedient and go when He says to go. So as we close today, that's the message I want you to take, is just be obedient. If God's asking you to go, go. If He's asking you to speak, speak. If He's asking you to sing, sing. And do it to the best of your abilities. There's times we don't know where we're going. Abram didn't know where he was going. He just went. Abram didn't know where he was going when he had Isaac. He just went until God said, this is where we want to be. Be obedient. If God says go, go. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before You. And Lord, I thank You for the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I thank You for all the stuff leading up to it, and all the examples You provide of Abram just going. Lord, I ask as Christians that we have that kind of obedience, that we have that kind of discipline and trust in You, that when You say go, we go. Lord, I don't know what that looks like for everybody here, but just to open everybody's eyes and everybody's vision to what You want them to do in their lives, and give them chances to be obedient. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give all you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.